Blog Talk Radio. Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, and we are so excited about tonight. Hallelujah. I thank and praise God for this another opportunity to study His Word on tonight. I thank you all in Radio Land, you and the ones that's on our radio broadcast. I thank and praise God for each one of you on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order now. I'm going to read a scripture and pray. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 91. And it reads as follows. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 8,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I have just read you 8 verses of Psalms 91. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of His most holy word. Lord, we come on tonight humbly before Your throne of grace, Father, just asking You on tonight to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against You in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask Your forgiveness right now. Hallelujah. We ask You right now, Lord, to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything, Lord, that's in our heart that should not be, we ask You to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask You to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on today. Father, we come on today humbly, just thanking and praising You for another opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we come giving You all the praise and all the glory on tonight. We magnify Your holy name on tonight, Father. We give Your name praise and we give You worship today. Father, we give You praise and worship on today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we come first of all asking You to bind the strong man up. Bind up the strong man, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bind him up, Lord, every evil thing, Lord. Every wicked and demonic thing, Lord, we ask You to bind it up on today in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to cover us in the shed blood tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, You know we need You on tonight. We need You tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking You now, cover our minds tonight. And our thoughts in the shed blood, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'm asking You right now, Lord, to let us be all on one accord, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us be on one accord, Father, in the study of Your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Open up our understanding tonight. Let us be on the same wave frequency, Lord, as the Holy Ghost is talking and speaking in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let me decrease, Father, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost can increase and teach Your people on tonight. I know nothing of myself in the name of Jesus. I have no knowledge of myself, but it's through Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank God on tonight. I ask You to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless those that's in radio land. Hallelujah. I ask You to bless each one of them, Father. Father, I give You praise on tonight. We give You praise. We give You glory, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. and for your glory. Hallelujah and amen. Amen, amen. We thank and praise God on tonight. We thank and praise him on tonight. I again just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be on our radio broadcast on tonight. And I thank and praise God that I'm even here. I thank and praise God for a day that he made that I've never seen before. I thank and praise God that I'm healed and spirit healed. Sickness and disease is far from me. I thank and praise God that I feel good on tonight. I thank and praise God that I have not had a nosebleed today. I thank and praise God for all the prayers that went up before the Lord. I give God praise. I just have to testify every now and then, because you know every day and twice and three times a day for the last 5 days my nose been bleeding. But I thank and praise God it was the prayers of the righteous, of the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. And I thank and praise God that they still don't know what it is at the doctor's office, but we already know that God has already healed me. So I give God praise on tonight. Hallelujah. I give him glory. And I thank God. Hallelujah. We want to start. We're studying from Zechariah, Prophet Zechariah, over in the second chapter right now. We're starting at the seventh verse of Zechariah tonight. Hallelujah. I thank God on tonight. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. And it reads as follows. Deliver thyself, O Zion, and dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. This is Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. This means to get out of Babylon. And why? We know that Babylon was going to fall. That's what we know. Babylon is going to fall. God was going to bring it down. Let me just revert to the two visions about the horns and the carpenter. The first horn is Babylon. And now the carpenter representing the Persian, the Medo-Persian, is coming. And he is going to tear Babylon down. What is going on? But the Persian will become a great power, a horn. And then he would persecute God's people, the Persian. So God will move the nation off the scene by bringing in another carpenter, which will be Greece. And Greece will become a proud nation. You know God ain't with that proud stuff. And under a ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes, who will come out of the divided empire of Alexander the Great. And you know all this stuff. You remember Apostle was teaching over when he was teaching in Revelation that time. Israel will be severely persecuted. Then God will raise up another carpenter, which is Rome, and he will cut down the power of Greece. Now you see how this is going. And when the Roman Empire has become a great power, where is the carpenter? Who will cut it down? History tells us that the great Roman Empire fell apart, but prophecy tells us that it will come back together again in the last days. Then who would put it down? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come from heaven. He is the carpenter of Nazareth, and he is also the man who is measuring the rod. He will put it down, the Antichrist and his kingdom. Then Christ will establish his own kingdom right here upon the earth. This is the picture that is given to us. These visions, which make them out of utmost significance. They is very significant that we know this stuff. We need to know this stuff. And I guess that's why God keep bringing them back to me. He keep bringing them back to me. Prophet Estella, can you hang up and dial back, call back, because you're on mute and I don't know how to get you off of mute. Can you just hang up and call back if you can? Amen. Amen. So, Gerard chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For thus saith the Lord," and I hope everybody understood that because it's so long in a part. Like, we have our Bible class on Monday. Amen. I got you. On Monday. And then we have another Bible class on Friday. So it just, it's so far in between, but we really need to know this. That's why God is the revelation of the Old Testament. So we really need to know this stuff so we'll know the end time stuff, because we really need to know what we are. We need to know this as being prophets, because God is going to tell his prophets first what's going on. So we need to know all of this and where we are. Anyway, so Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory have he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye." The apple of his eye is an unusual expression, although it occurs elsewhere in the scripture. In this instance, it is the Hebrew baha, meaning the pupil or the gate through which light enters. It is an expression which indicates that which is most precious, most easily injured, and most demanding of affection. This is what Israel is to God, the apple of his eye. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome, because they are the ones that need the most protection. They are the ones that is most precious to the Lord. It is Israel. "For behold," verse 9 says, "For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be spoiled to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts have sent me. I will shake my hand upon them." That is, all God needs to do is to shake his hand threateningly against the enemy of his people, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. Those who serve them shall become their master. Now, here is one of the great prophecies of scriptures. Verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion." Zion is a hill over Jerusalem. It's a mountain to me, but there are cucks that want to appropriate this verse to themselves. So they have moved Zion to England or to the United States. Let me be clear. Let's be clear on this. When God speaks of Zion, he is not talking about Illinois or Utah or any other place other than Palestine. There is a constant danger of taking these prophecies which were given to Israel. It was given to Israel, these prophecies, which were given to Israel and relate them to us by way of interpretation, because everybody's interpretation is different. We can make application to our own country or to our own lives because great principles are stated here. But when God is talking about a location, he means exactly what he's saying. But somebody says, this is a vision. But a vision is a vision of reality. We need to know a vision is when you woke. And you know the difference between a vision and a dream. And this vision is reality, is real. It's real. So when God uses a location term like Zion, he is talking about Zion in Israel. And notice that he is addressing the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Zion, which is the nation of Israel. This is a very familiar figure for Israel, and it cannot mean any other people. Israel, the daughter of Zion. Verses 11 and 12 said, we're in chapter 2 of Zechariah. Verses 11 and 12 said, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Notice that it is not only Israel, but many nations will be converted to Christ in that day. To be joined to the Lord is to be united to him in faith and in spiritual experience. And the Lord shall inherit Judah. The conversation of many nations does not imply that God will not fulfill his promise to Judah. Zechariah reminds his people again that they are God's inheritance and his portion. God's inheritance and his portion. This ought to answer once and for all the anti-Semite who insists that Judah refers to Jews and that Israel refers to another race. God says that he intends to inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land. This is the place, the only place in the Bible where the phrase Holy Land is used. It is not the Holy Land today. When I make this statement, the Holy Land, somebody always say, you know that Holy Land in Florida, they got a Holy Land. Anyway, I haven't been there, but I live there, but in Florida, but I didn't never go there. But we're talking about the Holy Land over in the Mideast. That's what we're talking about. This is a place where Jesus walked, where his footprints are all gone, because they didn't probably did some of everything over there and changed it around and everything. But someday he will return. He's not walking around there at this point, but someday he will return. And when he does, it will be the Holy Land again, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Applies that he is not choosing Jerusalem right now, but he will choose it again. Verse number 13, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of the holy inhabitation. In that day, the whole earth, and when we say in that day, we talk about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, in that day, the whole earth will keep silent. Today we hear a lot about freedom of speech, but in the future day, there is going to be a marvelous freedom of silence. Why? Because God will be in his holy temple. We look forward to his visible presence on earth during the millennium. This prospect for the future should have been an encouragement to those people in the day of Zechariah. I'm sure it was, and it ought to be an encouragement for us today. God has a plan and a purpose for you, 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 and you, for each one of us. He is working in our lives every day. He works in our hearts both to will and to do his good pleasure every day, a plan and a purpose for us. God has. And I thank and praise God on today that we are here for his pleasure, and we should want to please him. Chapter 3 of Zechariah. We're talking about here the vision of Joshua and Satan, vision of the branch. As we continue in our study of the 10 visions which God gave Zechariah, keep in mind that we are in a highly figurative section of the Word of God. These 10 visions should be considered together as focusing on one particular message. But I'm telling you now, so many prophets, and every prophet don't have them like that. But most of us have lots and lots of visions and dreams. Some people call them dreams, but they don't always seem like dreams. Dreams are when you sleep. But visions are when you're up, you sitting up, or you wake. You could be laying in a bed, and you'll fall off into a vision. I do it so much. It's like I'm saying, one day I did it time after time after time. I was telling my husband, I said, we was in the car. I said, do you see me keep going? He said, yeah. I said, well, what is going on? And I tell him what I seen and stuff like that, but it's just like I don't know. And I didn't understand it, but I know it's a vision, and I know it's something God was showing me. Because and when he do it like that, it kind of disturbs you, because you go in and you out, and in and you out. You up, you wake, and you sleep, and you wake, and you sleep. And that's something. I've never did it like that so many times, but I did that day a lot of times. So the vision of Joshua and Satan. Now this is Joshua and Satan. Now, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Keep in mind that this is not the Joshua who led the children of Israel into the promised land. This is the Joshua who served as high priest among the remnant of Israel who returned to Jerusalem after the Babylon captivity. The name Joshua means Jehovah saves. And in the Greek language of the New Testament, the name is translated as Jesus. But that's, you know, or not Jesus or whatever they call it, Jesus, whatever it is. You remember that the angel, in announcing his approaching birth, said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So you can see that the name Joshua is especially appropriated for this high priest and prefigures that the nation Israel ought to have been, that is, a holy, high priestly nation. Standing before the angel of the Lord, this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation. I guess it was Jesus. As we have seen in the previous chapters, that's right. And Satan standing at his right hand. It is quite obvious that if Zechariah saw Joshua, he also saw Satan, which means that Satan is in reality and a person. In our culture, we see a revival in interest regarding Satan. He pretty much had dropped out of the vocabulary of most people in so-called Christian land for the past 50 years. They had forgotten about him, or perhaps they felt that by not mentioning him, he would go away. But he hasn't gone away. He is very much a reality. The current interest in the supernatural has turned, unfortunately, to Satan and to his demons rather than to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, and modern thinking demands, that evil be incarnated, that it be represented by a person. Therefore, many folk have gone into demonology. If evil must be personified, then good must also be personified. Good is God. God is good. God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the final answer to men who are seeking a solution to their own problems and to the ills of the world, of this world. To resist him, the fact that Satan is standing at Joshua's right hand could mean that he is there to support him or defend him. And we all know what Satan represents. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's a deceiver. He ain't standing there trying to support him. He's a deceiver. He's accused of the brethren. And he is real. We have to know he's real. Why do we need an advocate with God the Father? Because of the enemy who is accusing us. In Revelation 12 and 10, he is called the accuser of our brethren, which accuse them before our God, day and night. I have a notion that this very day he has made a charge against you and a charge against me. And I'm sure it may be a violent charge, a valid charge, because we don't know. But sometimes we do know when we sin. Sometimes we don't know. I am confident that he's been making charges against us from childhood to God, accusing us, the children of God. You know we have. Anything he could go to God and say, see there, I told you. See there, this. You know, ever since, all the time, he do that. He'll accuse us every time. He is accused of the brethren. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a band plucked out of the fire? The Lord rebuke thee, is very gentle according to my standard. I could think of a stronger rebuke than that, but God respects this one who he created. Remember that God created him. God created him, Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14 and 12. Probably the highest creature that he ever created. Then sin was found in him. What kind of sin? Lust of stealing? No, pride was found in him. He had a free will. He set that will against the will of God. My friend, that is sin. Sin. All we like of God, that is sin. Pride, lust, stealing, the pride of life, all three of them, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, I forgot them, the lust of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, all of the lust, lust of the flesh, I forgot them, y'all just give me a minute, and it'll come back to me. All of it, specifically sins such as murder, stealing, lying, adultery, all come under the heading of his own way. This is the problem of mankind, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, anyway. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked him. This revealed that the rebuke comes not on the account of Joshua, the person, but on the account of Jerusalem, the capital of the nation. When I tell you, Satan, he was here. God created him just like he created everything else. And we have to know that. And he allows us, yeah, pride of life. Amen. You could have said it. Y'all hear that lady in there calling me anyway. The thing about Satan, he's been here, and y'all know I taught demonology, so you all know how Lucifer came about, because he was a beautiful angel at first. He was an angel at first, but he's not anymore, because God kicked him out of heaven, because he thought he was going to do more than God. He's going to be more than God. Just one second, y'all. One second. I'm sorry. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven. And he was so beautiful, he was breathtaking. And when he walked and talked, I think when he talked, you could just see beautiful lights and hear beautiful sounds and all that kind of stuff. He was just a beautiful angel until he wanted to be more than God, and God kicked him out. So he still is accused of the brethren. He's still doing all the things that he does. You know, if he tried to Jesus, after he had did the 40-day fast while he was doing it, he'll do it to any of us. We're nowhere close to Jesus. So when we're fasting and all that, he try to start confusion. He try to start tempting us to do this and to do that. I'm just not talking about every day. I'm talking about when you're fasting, because that's how he tried to get Jesus. And Jesus got him in the end. So we have to be careful, because we're human. Now Joshua was clothed with the garments and stood before the angel. The vision of Joshua, the high priest, actually goes beyond the man himself. We would learn that this vision gives us the answer to a very difficult question. This is the problem. We have learned so far that God is going to return the nation, Israel, to the land, and that he will dwell in the midst of them. They will be totally restored as his people. That hasn't happened yet, but he says he is going to do that, and I believe he is going to do it. If he said it, I believe it. He says that he's going to do it. He will bless them in that land. In the day of Zechariah, they were so far from God and living in sin, just like him, in Sodom and Gomorrah, and just like today, men marry men, women marry women, all this stuff going on. But we serve a forgiving God. And he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Every promise God said he's going to do, he's going to do it. He is going to do it, believe me. And, you know, you can sit around and we can think about all of the end time stuff and what the Lord promised us he was going to do. I believe every word. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting till he grab us and snatch us up in the air. I'm just telling you, I'm waiting, because it's going to happen. But, you know, his wrath and warning and all that is going out now. He's trying to show people that he is not playing. And then a lot of these storms and hurricanes and stuff, the devil is doing a lot of this. And you can rebuke that stuff, and that wind will turn another way. Go another way. I'm telling you, God, he'll allow his winds and stuff to do what he do, but sometimes Satan, he'll do some stuff too. So we have to pray against a lot of that stuff. When my daughter told me that was a skeleton head on that hurricane and a red eye or something with a dot in it or something, I said, Lord, have mercy. That's just demonic. That's demonic. And I pray for the people that's being affected by it. But it's from the enemy, a lot of it. I ain't going to say everything, because God, he'll show you when he's not pleased, too. He'll allow stuff to happen. Okay, yeah, I'm trying to move on. I have a lot to say about all of it, but I'm trying to move on. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, this is verse 4, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. This is without doubt one of the most beautiful pictures we have in the Old Testament. Joshua could not stand before a righteous, holy God. A righteous, holy God with those filthy garments on. I seen a pastor one time. He had went to jail. I don't know if you all know. Oh, I forgot his name too. He's a pastor. It'll come to me in Florida. He was the head of the National Baptist Convention, and he went to prison. Reverend Lyons. Ooh, I didn't know. Is that that eye? Oh, my God. Is that how I really looked? Oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am. That's it.
Oh, my God. That was some kind of storm looking at. But his name was Pastor Lyons. And he was over the National Baptist Convention, and a lot of things went on, and money came amiss, and just a lot of stuff. And I guess God was exposing him where he went to prison. And after he served his time, he got out. And they took him to this church, and they to dedicate him back into the church or whatever they were doing. And we were there. And what they did was this. The pastor preached, and they, like, reinstated him back. He had on a old raggedy robe, and they took that off of him. And then they put on a brand-new robe on him. And all the pastors and bishops and apostles that was there, they laid hands on him and prayed for him. And that was beautiful just right there. So I know if that was beautiful, I know this was beautiful because God did this for Joshua. He did this. Joshua, because he want Joshua standing before him in dirty garments. Also, his weakness was revealed. You see, being dirty and filthy as he was gave Satan an advantage because the adversary could point his finger at him. Now, let me give you an example here. Unger's translation of verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garment from off of him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel. That's what the Unger's Bible commentary says. And that's exactly the way it was, even at the program for Pastor Lyons. It was like when he got the new robe on, it was just like a figurative or symbolic of his sins had passed on. But I'm sure God had forgiven Pastor Lyons long before that, because he was in prison, I think, a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. And I'm sure God will forgive you soon as you ask him, but this was symbolic of what they were doing. Joshua represented not only the nation of Israel, he represented us today. In him, we see the sin of the believer. Joshua was a priest before God. God appointed priests in the Old Testament. In our day, every believer is a priest before God. But some of us are standing in dirty garments. We're standing, some of us. We're standing in dirt. But yes, you may say, but I have been clothed in righteousness of Christ. If you have been saved, that is true. And that is exactly the picture which is given to us here. You see, the dirty garment represented sin must be removed from him or from us, and he must be clothed with clean garments, symbolic of the righteousness of Christ. So I thank and praise God that we can take off them dirty garments when we come to the Lord. I thank and praise God for that, because a lot of times people don't know nothing about this. They don't know. But they should know. They should know they can come to God. They should know they can repent. They should know. And we should be the ones that let them know what they can do. Yeah, you sin. We sin. We all fall short. But we can come to God. We have a forgiving, righteous God. And we could come to him and get forgiveness of our sins. We could come to him. So I thank and praise just God for just for that picture, just for that, because that's an encouragement right there. Because God is not a respected person. And I feel like the only one thing that you can't go to God and ask for forgiveness for is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. You may ask, but I don't know if the forgiveness will come, but you can ask. So that's why I tell us on today to repent as much as you can. Repent as much as you can. It's not going to hurt us to repent every time you think about it, because we sin and we don't know it a lot of times. We don't know. But if we repent as much as possible, we're not going to miss it. We're not going to miss it. So, you know, I want you all to be praying for the people that this storm has affected and still affecting. I want you all to be praying for our retreat that's coming up. And I want as many women, women of war, that can go. I want you all to go by the grace of God. I want you all to come. It's going to be such a blessing. Such a blessing. And I want you all to stay encouraged, each one of you. So is there anyone have anything to say before I get ready to close out, y'all? So we're going to get ready to close. I thank and praise God. This was a good lesson on tonight. And I hope we remember what we are, because Zechariah is a prophet just like we are. And the stuff he went through, you don't never know. Well, God may take you through some. We don't know. So I'm going to get ready to close. Father, we thank you on tonight. For everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, Father, everyone that's in radio land that's listening on tonight, Father, we thank you and we give you praise on tonight. Father, I thank you for the understanding. I thank you for your word. I thank you for us being on one accord on this evening. Father, I ask you to cover each one that's up under the sound of my voice in the blood of Jesus. I thank you for it on tonight, Lord. I give you praise. And I give you glory for each one of them, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless Apostle Dean to his absence as well, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless right now. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, I say, you be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. If you all need to call me, you can. God loves you and I love you too. You all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath. God bless you. Have a good day. Love you. Amen. Good night.